A very good morning to all of you. I'm so glad that you're joining. I've asked some others to join this morning. I see Pastor Gideon is on, and good for from Navalsparas area, Bharatguda, I think. I forget their name, actually the district, but it's good to see you guys here. Daniel, you're back, and I pray you stay on every Monday. Good to see you all. Amen. So I'm going to be sharing this morning, and we're going to continue on the Father Son Wineskin. However, I just wanted to share a few thoughts before we go that. One of the things is I'm hoping all of you are studying the lessons before the meeting. So you'll have a good idea of what the meeting is all about and what are the more familiar with the subject that we're going to deal with. I want to expedite Father Son Wineskin. There's a lot of material to cover, and so I want to do the best I can this year to finish up Father Son Wineskin. I don't think we'll finish it up, but to finish as many lessons as we can. In my understanding, there still seems to be a lot of confusion on father sons. And I think one of the main reasons why there's confusion between father sons, or the understanding of the father son wineskin, or believing that the father son wineskin is the current move of God, is because of the mixing of seed. Because we're listening to other voices, and other voices are there. I hear many voices. I have people that will talk to me from time to time, some things negative to what we are building. And I've made it my duty to shut my ears to these sort of things until I fully understand what I have before me, which is ABC one, which when we started. Because when we started ABC one, and when the Father Son wineskin was so new to us, I always knew about father figures, but being connected to a father in this manner was something I didn't know, I didn't understand. And now, when you don't know and you don't fully understand, and then you're teaching it to other people, can make you very, very, very vulnerable. Amen. Pastor Sas, Lenny wants me to make you a course. Now, I'm not sure how to do that, because he needs you to record. Can you record?
Good morning. I can't record at the moment because I'm not co-host.
I said approve.
Okay, I'll try again. Yes, it's recording now. Thank you.
Okay, so you and Lenny are recording.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so one of the requests I'd like to ask this for this meeting is for many of you to try and put your videos on if it's possible. I know some people have data issues, but if it's possible, put your video on so that we know that you're not you're there, and so I'm talking to you, if it's possible, please. And if it's not, then let us know through WhatsApp or so that why you cannot put your video on, so we understand. And so, speaking to some of our folk, I think the struggle is still there, and I will say because of the mixing of seed. And so, while we're studying ABC, I will encourage you to stick to this doctrine until you fully understand, until this message has penetrated your heart. As Jesus was walking down the road to Emmaus, he met two of his disciples, but the Lord said the Lord didn't allow him to recognize him. And later on, after Jesus dealt with them, they were saying that The words that Jesus spoke burned in their hearts as if it was engraved in their hearts. So when this message is engraved in your heart, when the message and you become one, then when people come to you and people give you a different doctrine, you will be able to present what you believe. Now, because we lack knowledge, we don't fully understand the father-son wineskin, the importance of the father-son wineskin. We do not understand that. Therefore, we need to know our product. If you're a salesman and if you're selling a product, if you don't have knowledge of the product, how are you going to sell it? You've got to first study the product and you've got to know everything that you possibly can about the product. And then when you present the product, you're going to be faced with many questions. And there'll always be oppositions there. Whatever product you're selling, there's always somebody else that is claiming that what they have is going to be better than you. So unless you sharpen yourself, you're going to be caught on your back foot. You would, because you'll be stumped. You will not be able to answer. And there's some clever people out there that knows, and God warns us about that. There'll be diverse doctrines, and you must be able to defend yourself. Now, if I'm talking about the salesman language, I'm sure Pastor Malcolm from Dubai will be able to quickly upgrade you on that, because he has to upgrade himself in his field and become the best in his field. You've got to be at the cutting edge. You've got to look at new products. So for you to be in the cutting edge, we've given you a tool. We've given you, now listen carefully, Church. We've given you the tool. In other words, we went to the supermarket. We have bought the groceries. And now we're giving you all the groceries and we're saying to you all, cook the best curry you can. And each one will come out differently. Different spices, some will hot, some will be mild, some will be medium. Different. You present it differently. So the ABC is unique in that. It's not as if when you go to a Bible school, you get a textbook. It could be 50 years old, it could be 80 years old. You get the textbook. Everybody's got to study the textbook, and there's one answer to every question, and that answer is in the textbook. If you don't answer in the textbook, if you have your own opinion, or if God, the Holy Spirit, has guided you and has given you unpacked a mystery in that scripture, you cannot put that answer there. You will get it wrong. So in the ABC, every one of you will be walking as you study this. God will show you, because all of us are called. All of us have a unique calling, and we have different graces. Some will be graced to just enter into an environment and the atmosphere changes. Others will have to be cranked before you come into the presence of God. So there's different graces. Some people have a gift to teach with a blackboard or a whiteboard. Other people can just carry a great evangelistic tone to the meeting. So we all got different graces. Some people are not very strong in doctrine, but unable to preach, but they'll be able to dialogue. They'll be very powerful in a dialogue and talking to one-on-one. See, some people have a lot of patience with other people. Some people don't have patience. They would just say what it is, and if you don't like it, they'll move on to somebody else. Other people will linger with you. You see, so I want you to understand each one of us different graces. And as you study ABC, your calling starts to get fulfilled. Your calling will come to the fore. Some people are very gentle, they're very calm, they're passive, Other people are strong-headed, They're no nonsense character. They're strong-headed. So you've got different people in. We grow up differently. We've got different cultures. We live in different nations. And so we grow up completely different. But ABC is so unique that whether you are a Chinese, a Japanese, an American, or Indian or Mauritian, whatever nation you come from, you could be a Kenyan or Ugandan. ABC will be able to direct you and bring the best out of you. Doesn't matter what language you speak, Hungarian or what have you. So I'm just sharing these things. It's important that you come to know because people are still questioning the father, son, wineskin. And you guys have been long enough now. You must be able, I won't say defend, God defends his gospel, but you must be able to present a strong case when people say no. And so I'm just gonna share something firstly, from my screen. Not the screen, but I'm just gonna share something that I think we've already touched on this. And Pastor Sachin touched on this, but I don't know if he elaborated. It says here, David and his men. Okay, I just want to sh let me just find this quickly. Give me half a second. Okay, in 2 Samuel 21, 11 to 14. You know the story. I think Pastor Sachin has already touched on it. When there was strife in the land and David became king, David was the person that became king. So what happened there was that the request for Saul's men, because Saul did created, he was a cunning ruler. And so the Bible says, then David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gibeah. Now, this was trying to restore peace. They were asked for men of Saul, and they were given those 7 men. And the Bible says, David, so he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from there. And they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, this is careful, after that, God heeded the prayer for the land. In other words, after that, the curse for famine, the curse for drought was broken. So what is this is saying? When the father and son in that era, when they came together, when they were reconciled, the curse was broken. And also we say, okay, that's fine, but that's not enough. So I just want to read another portion of scripture. Bible says, this is in Luke. In Luke 41. Okay, listen to this, right? His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, now remember, 12 is a number of government, right? Every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So they've gone to for the Passover. They went now to give thanks to God. And in their company, Joseph and Mary, is their son who is 12 years old, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy, not the man, the boy, Jesus, lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Okay? But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. Now, a day's journey those days, you must know, you're not driving in your car, in your auto or anything like that. They were, I don't know why my hand actually goes up all the time. They were not driving, they were walking. These people are walking in the wilderness. And so they were gone a whole day. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So by now, Jesus was well aware. He was strong in doctrine. He knew everything. But as we continue to read, you'll see that he was going ahead of his time. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Okay? He knew, he just knew the answers. But again, I want to remind you all that Jesus was ahead of his time. Now, many of us can get ahead of our time. There's something that God has laid in our hearts, in our calling. And sometimes we want to present it ahead of our time. And even if it's Jesus, you're not exempted from that. You cannot go before the Lord actually wants you to enter any place or any time. Because there were times when Jesus would say to his disciples, "Don't go to Samaria, don't touch that area." But later, Jesus would say there was a need for him to go to Samaria, and that's when he meets the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. So there's an important thing for your timing. There's an important thing for every one of us to understand timing, that our Kairos moment, when to get into ministry, when to get into a new zone, when to start a new ministry, when to send a son out, when to call him back to enter into a period of rest where you can bring him up to date. These are very, very important things in as a spiritual father. As you're coming into leadership, you've got to understand Kairos. You've got to wait on the Lord to know whether the timing is correct, whether you're walking in the right time. You don't just do things haphazardly because you know some doctrine and you just go and enter. You might go into a city and collapse. I've taken many men over the years. Many men have come with me, traveled with me because of the desire to want, but they've been badly attacked by demons. Where they'd scream in the hotels, they would come to me next morning and say, "Please pray for me. I had such a demonic attacks in the hotel, and I had to pray for them." And some of them have turned against us today. They've been so warped by their enemy, and they've never returned and never journeyed with me. But just because they want to come ahead of the time. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." So the parents are anxious. They're looking for the son. They know he's only 12 years old. They believe in what they sense by the Spirit that it was not time for Jesus. But they found him, and the people around him were amazed at Jesus' answers. Okay, so there's not that he lacked anything. He didn't lack anything, but the timing was not right. Many of you might be ripe, but the timing is not right for you to enter a zone. Verse 49. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me?" Jesus speaking, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Okay? Now, the English translation is "no." Further up there is they're using word "knows," but I'll just explain a bit. There's different meanings to the same English word, because if you go to the original, you find if you use the original, it means different. Verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them, which means his parents didn't understand what Jesus was saying, which means it was not time. It was not time. So sometimes you might say to your spiritual father, "Listen, you want to do this," and your spiritual father, in his understanding, it's not yet time. He didn't understand where you're coming from. Because remember, God doesn't just speak to the son, he speaks to the father as well. So there should never be a disagreement between the father and son regarding any move, any next move of God. So there's nothing wrong if a son asks his father, "How do you feed?" This is what I sense the Lord is saying. And if the father had not received it yet, it means there's no sync. You all are not synced, not synchronized in terms of this move that the son is speaking about. So the father needs to pray about it. The father needs to get an understanding. Sometimes the father feels that the son is ready to God, and the son feels he's not ready. So when these things happen, it doesn't mean to say this is confusion. No, it means to say one is ahead of the other. And so this is a sign that Jesus was going ahead of his time, and now the parents didn't understand. Because the Bible says in 50, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. In 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. This is Jesus. Then after Jesus now knows that the parents didn't understand where he was coming from, the Bible says he went to them with Nazareth. And there's a key that we must all understand. Right? Luke 2, verse 51, chapter 2, verse 51. It says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. It means he has overtaken his parents. He overtook them. Mary was as if a biological mother, because she gave birth to him. So there was this biology there. He was a biological son. But to Joseph, it was not. He was a spiritual father. Then he says he was subject to them. It means Jesus knew right now his understanding of his walk with Christ and his purpose on this earth clear. But to his spiritual parents, it was not yet clear. But knows he never fought his spiritual parents. The Bible says, and was subject to them. Meaning, he said he was ready to listen to whatever they told him. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. So the mother got a sense of what was happening. Something greater was happening because she had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. Today you'll be with child, and I will explain to Joseph all that stuff. And she said, be it as. So she got a strong inclination that this is born of God and there's something divine taking place. So she kept it to herself. And 52 is the key. 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, the only reason Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men is because, remember, Jesus had a dual nature. He was a natural, he was all man, and he was all God. As all God, there's nothing new to him. He knew everything. He was equal to the Father, equal to the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, they're equal. So as God, he knows everything, nothing you can teach him. But as man, to present himself before other men, he had to find favor. And to find that favor, he had to be subject and submitted to the Father that God, the Heavenly Father, placed him under. And the Holy Spirit visited Joseph and said to Joseph, Mary is with child, and gave him the name, you'll call him Jesus. Now, because God appointed him, because Jesus as an infant had to grow under a father, he had to be taught the culture of the day, he had to be taught how to live, he had to be taught manners. He had to be taught a trade, which was he was in a carpenter's workshop. All these things he had to grow, he had to mature under man. He had to understand what man thinks, how man does things, so that it was important that he were, although he was all God, but he had to be subject to the man on the natural man on the earth to learn the ways, to learn the culture, and then bring alteration, kingdom. Culture, he slowly had to introduce kingdom culture, which is greater than the natural Jew. So, if you look in the early days, when the Lord dealt with Samuel in 1 Samuel 2:26, the Bible uses the same word that Samuel grew in the same way as Jesus, because we know Samuel was also a type of Christ. And unless Samuel was subject to Eli, he would have also failed. Although Eli was already in a backslidden state, but he had to be subject to Eli. He had to be submitted to Eli. He had to learn from Eli in that short time that he had before Eli died, because he had to be accelerated into the purpose of God from a young age, but not run ahead of his time. Likewise, Jesus is ready to be accelerated, but they all had to be subject to this. So I just hope, firstly, you understand that now clearly, that what you've got to understand, that it's important, it's very, very important that we are close, our proximity with our spiritual father is examined over and over and over again, that we must always, always examine the spiritual father, our closeness. So in other words, if my personal testimony, I make it my duty to be very close to my spiritual father. I talk to him just about every day. Although he lives in the neighborhood, yes, it's convenient, but I don't go to him. I only meet him on a Thursday in the ABC forum. And every now and again, unless there's a call during the week, we meet. But I am in close proximity, and all of us can do that. We have telephones, we have Zoom, we have all these facilities today that we can stay in touch. But don't ever get familiar. Don't get familiar with your spiritual father, because when you get familiar, the unclean spirit enters you, and you can start to think, you start to see faults in your father, you start to judge your father, and you start to do things that is unkind to your father. Because what I mean unkind, you start to murmur, you start to gossip with other people, because you know, because the father has allowed you this closeness, you get close to him. And remember, just like you, he's a human being. None of us are perfect. None of us, you know, the only time you get to know a person is when you live with the person. You know, when you're courting your wife, when you're courting your girlfriend, everything is honky-dory. She's the best thing that happened in your life. You know, she's a star. She's everything. But when you get married, the honeymoon is a short period. And after the honeymoon, reality starts. Then you start to see things you never saw before. That's when marriages fail, because you suddenly believe you've made mistakes in your marriage. So don't get familiar. Don't get familiar. Just like when the day you married, you covenanted for life, and the whole idea of marriage is you are supposed to be the strength in her weakness, and she's supposed to be the strength in your weakness. And the whole idea is the both of you striving for perfection before God. And the whole idea is you must become the Christ in her life, and she becomes the church. She becomes the bride of Christ. Amen? That's what the marriage is all about. That's what Paul speaks about in today's marriage. So in this association, we need to understand grace is transmitted through this association. Right? You might not even know it, because grace is mingled with words, and that's how grace is parted. And grace in a father is not for the father, it's for the son. And one thing I have to say, that in this relationship, the father-son wineskin, the beneficiary is the son, not the father. The father carries the grace for the son. The son is the benefactor. He's the beneficiary of that. So we need to understand that. Now, when we look at the Elijah, you know, the Elisha is the one of the very powerful illustration of the father-son wineskin. And this was in the Old Testament. This was a type and a shadow. And we see it more filled in the life of Christ, how he gathered his disciples, how he downloaded himself and the disciples. There was such a powerful download from Christ to his disciples, who he referred to as his children. And children are translated Ben, which is son. And he even said to his father, "Those that you gave me, I still have." And we pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want to emphasize this, the importance of getting a clearer and a greater understanding of the father, the benefit of the father son, where this is clearly demonstrated, some things that have to be done for the benefactor or the beneficiary to and start to enjoy the fullness of what Christ has designed for the Father, for the Son, and how the Son affected. Now remember, Elisha was not very kind to Elisha. Even in the very outset, when he threw the mantle at the while he was plowing the fields, he was not kind. He said to him, What have you to do with me? He never encouraged him to come. He wanted this must be an absolute miracle from God. And what did he do? He gave up his business, gave up his family. He did so many things in one moment, all the time pleading to Elijah to hang on for him, to wait till he completes the mission. You know, destroy all the implements of plowing, the cattle, fed the crowds with the meat of the cattle. But he was a wealthy man, and he was taking good care of his parents. He was a righteous man. And just the touch of the mantle, you see Elijah tell him, "No, you don't have to come with me." But the Bible says he did left everything. He ran behind him. He didn't walk. He ran behind him. Now, when it comes to the end, it's no different. In 2 Kings 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." 2. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Verse 4. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave." So they came to Jericho. So the Bible just gives you this part, and it leaves it to your imagination. I don't think it was just an ordinary conversation. You know, I believe Elijah would have told Elisha, "Listen, Elisha, I've got nothing else now. My time is up." Okay? He says, "My time is up, and listen, I'm on my way. Right? So please just stick around here, and you don't have to follow me anymore. Our journey has come to an end. Our father, son are walking together. You served me well, all of that. So stick around. Gilgal is a good place. You know, you don't have to come to me with Bethel." But he says, No, I'm not leaving you." And it goes on to Jericho. He says, "No, I'm not leaving." Then in verse 6, then Elijah said, "Stay here, please." Because no, but the fact that he's saying please, he's pleading with him. If I say to you, "Please do this," it means I'm saying to you, "You know what? It's important that you do this. Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives," the same thing he repeats, "I will not leave you." And, you know, in the conversation, you remember the other prophets were saying to Elisha, saying to Elisha, "Don't you know that Elisha is going to be taken up?" So it's already been a noise amongst the other prophets. And Elisha would say, "Shh, be quiet." He knows that. It's sensitive. He's in a time where he's in deep communication with the spirit of Elijah, and he's in deep communication with God the Father. He knows something significant is going to happen. He knows that his father is going to be taken away from him. But because of his sincerity, because of the closeness with him and his father, he's thinking, "How do I live without my father? How do I progress?" And remember, all he did, he was a servant to Elijah. He was washing his feet, he was washing his hands, he was serving him day and night. And there were times he would sit outside while Elisha was dealing with matters inside, and he would wait outside. You know, he was treated like a slave boy. But he realized that something Elijah had, it was he saw Christ in Elijah. He clung on to the spirit of Elijah, and he knew the beauty of the spirit of Elijah, some of the great things Elijah did. So he was not bothered about Elijah's weakness. He was not bothered that the mantle that was put on him was a dirty mantle. It was a dirty coat. He was sleeping in the wilderness. Those things didn't bother him. The pimples on Elijah's face didn't bother him. Okay, him defecating in the bush in the wilderness didn't bother him. Okay, these things were done in a very ancient of times, the way they did things. So even if Elijah did his business, I'm sure Elisha would have been there to make sure that this is buried and all of that. I'm just thinking abroad. How else you think they would live in the wilderness? They didn't have a house to go to. They're sleeping under trees, and they had to do their business in the wilderness, and they had to eat. How God would have fed them? How these things would have happened? Elisha saw these things, and he clung to his father, who couldn't give him anything. Beside him being connected to the Christ in Elijah, there was nothing else Elijah could give him. He was a wealthy man, 12 oxen. He had his father, he had a home. He had everything to leave it to follow a man. You see, the reason why Elisha was so powerful and demonstrating, and that eventually it is told that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah, is because Elisha saw Christ in Elijah, and nothing else mattered to him. His mistakes didn't matter to him. His faults didn't matter to him. He was not on a fault-finding mission. He was not here to judge Elijah. He was here for one thing. I have seen Christ in him. What he carries is what I desire. And as long as I stay by him, I know my God is going to give me what he has. And so look at what happens before this takes place. Gilgal. Gilgal, as we know, even in the days of Joshua, when God came, brought them this side of the Jordan, took them across, the first thing God said to Joshua, circumcise the people. And this is the first thing that had to happen in the first instance. This is the final circumcision of Elisha is taking place, the final test. And fathers will test sons, or the Holy Spirit will bring you to a test to see whether you'll give up your wineskin, or would you give up your relationship, because some of the tests that will happen is not going to be kind, because God wants to see your faithfulness. So there's the first test, Gilgal. Going to be second. No, you don't have to come with me. Stay here. Stay at Gilgal. No. By this time, the knife is taken out. And Gilgal also means doctrine, because what does Gilgal? It means a sharp rock. It means a house of the rock, bringing in doctrine. This also means doctrine. Okay? And so the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it talks about, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So by this time, Elisha knows that Elijah is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is in him. Christ is in him by the miracles. And all he's interested is to be deeply connected with the spirit of Elijah. Then they come to Bethel. Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. And the house of God is a place where we fellowship. So it's important for us to know that we fellowship. Even Jacob, on his journey to Laban's house, when he comes to this place called Luz, he then wakes up after sleeping on this rock. He gets up and he says, surely God is in this place. You know, this is found in Genesis 28:16. So Bethel is the house of God. Bethel is a place of fellowship. So the first thing that we did in Gilgal, we understood it's where doctrine, circumcision is when doctrine is circumcising your heart, is drawing you closer to God. The next step, Bethel, is bringing you into fellowship. What is fellowship? You must be found in the temple. You must be found where the Father gathers, where the sons of God gather, where people, like-minded sons, gather. And the same thing happened with the man when he was delivered of his blindness, ran into the temple, and God knew immediately he went into the house of God. It means he entered into fellowship and he started to follow Jesus. The next thing was Jericho. Jericho, anything broken, I'm reading from even the book, gives fragrance. It's a breaking of bread, because remember, Joshua didn't go and bring the walls down with his physical sound. He had the army, but they blew the trumpet. The sound, the trumpet, the drawing down, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit brought the walls down. It's a breaking of bread. And the walls fell down. Okay? And we see that, as I mentioned earlier, in Luke 24:30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from there. So when it says they knew him, it means this knew, or this knowing him, is epignosko. The Greek word epignosko means to know thoroughly, to become thoroughly acquainted, to know. The other know is genosko. It's just to know him. Like they walked to Jesus, they knew Jesus, they walked to him, they knew him as a man, as Jesus Christ. They probably come to know that he's the Son of God. But when you epignosko him, that means you know him from above. And this is what happens when, because the Bible says, as soon as they knew him from above, they knew this was Christ sitting with them. He disappeared. There was nothing more for him to demonstrate, but for them to get to know him from above. And that's why they say, as they ran back, because remember, they sat at the table only because they were tired after a full day's journey, and they invited the Lord to sit with them at the table because it's been a full day's journey. And after the breaking of bread, the Bible says they ran back to Jerusalem. So where was the tiredness? You see, once you get to know Christ from above, then you're not tired to do things. You work tirelessly because there is an emergency. There's an urgency in getting the gospel transmitted to other people. So they went looking for the disciples to tell them, because suddenly they were the same people walking with the same Jesus. But unless the Lord open your eyes, you're not going to fully understand this. So my prayer is that some of you are still questioning the Father, Son, wineskin. My prayer is that you will linger until the Lord opens, as Paul would say, to renew your eyes, so that you get the eyes of understanding. Open your ears to for God to download wisdom into your life. Then they come down to Jordan, and Jordan is a picture of prayers. Why? It's a picture of descending. It's a picture of humbling. And it also, that when you come to this place called prayers, which is reflection, Jordan, which reflects prayers, it is also a picture of ascending, because Elijah was taken up in this place. So it's a picture of descending and ascending. And even Jacob saw this on the ladder, the ascending and descending of angels, meaning there's a communication from the heavenlies to the earthly. And Jesus made it very clear, today you're seated with me in heavenly places, which means through the Holy Spirit, the medium of the Holy Spirit is talking to us. So our desire must be, Lord, show me. Because there's a lot of things in my early days of ABC One I didn't understand. A lot of things. I didn't understand set man principles. I didn't understand how the second man works, you know. And it's important for us to study it, engineering detail, because engineering details will help you build structure. And listen, if you don't build as fathers, if you don't get the structure right, and it's okay if you make mistakes. It's okay if you make mistakes. I listen to a father who will say to me, Dad, you know, so and so, notice they're not building correctly, right? Now, it's not as if I didn't see them making the mistake, but other sons have seen it and they bring it to my attention. And I say, not to worry, focus on your building. Focus, keep your eyes. This is one time I'll encourage you to put your blinkers on and build your structure. Because remember, your building pattern with the same material will be different, because a different calling on your life, the environment to where you're building is different, the circumstances are different, and your ability to build, you might have different people around you. Some people have intellects around them, some people have people with good financial backing around them, other people will have the very poor around them. And so you've got all these things, and people will build differently. So the ABC is not designed for everybody to build identical. You can't build like how Dr. Segi is building. I can't build like how Dr. Segi is building. I can't build how Pastor Sassen is building now. I handed over the ministry to Pastor Sassen, and I'm seeing he's making a lot of changes, and I'm leaving him. And if there's going to be a few mistakes, I will let him make the mistake, and then I will sit him down and tell him, this is what you need to do. Because you know what? People don't like to learn from other people's mistakes. It is a common factor. You don't want to learn from other people's mistakes. But when you pay your school fees, what I mean by that is that when you pay the price, then you will understand. If Jesus was tested, was given the ultimate test before he came into the fullness of his ministry, then what makes you think you will be exempted? After being baptized, after the Father comes with an audible voice, this is my beloved Son. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord took him up and into the mountain, and he's been fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he takes him up to the mountain, and the ultimate test. If you are the Son of God, creating doubt because he's hungry, how can he handle it? But Jesus said, a man shall not live by bread alone. So we too cannot live by bread alone. We need the word of God. It's a greater bread. It's what will sustain us. So Jordan is a place of accurately dividing the word of God. Because remember, Elisha, closeness to Elijah, and his ability to submit, to subject himself, and to follow without murmuring, without gossiping, without fault finding, without judging Elijah, the benefits were greatly positioned for him. But what about the other 50 prophets that were also lingering around the and also knew Elijah going to be taken up? How come they didn't get the mantle? They didn't get a double portion. Why? Because they were following from a distance. They were following from a distance. You see, to get the mantle, you have to adopt the culture. You have to buy into the culture. Like we say, buy the whole field. You see, because Elisha's close proximity, his closeness to his father, received it. You see, your father, you might be wealthier than your father. You might be have a stronger financial backing. You might drive a better car than your father. You might be more educated than your father. You might have other degrees, all of that. You could be a full-time pastor. You could be a businessman pastor. Like David, you can use both hands. You know how to operate in the marketplace. You can have all these gifts. But your father is not there to teach you how to be the best man in the marketplace, how to do. Your father is there to counsel you. Because remember that father can't be a jack of all trades. He can't be good at you to teach you how to be a salesman, to teach you how to be an MD, managing director of a company, to teach you how to be an IT expert. No, the father is there, is positioned there by God the Father to represent him before you and to bring to you what he wants for you. He doesn't bring it to you directly. The Bible is clear about that. Okay? Because you saw what happened to Miriam and Aaron, how they were punished in different times, but they were thoroughly punished. And it was a spectacle, open spectacle. Everybody around them knew that they received and they suffered the consequences of their murmuring against Moses. So we need to understand. So the Father's position is there to be there. Grace is downloaded from the Heavenly Father, and you have to tap into that grace. How you tap into that grace? You listen to the words he speak. He might be not an eloquent speaker, but you listen to the words he speak, and also in those words are mingled grace. Also, you have to tap into that grace, and we'll talk about that. How you tap into grace? It's important. Amen. So we need to understand this. And he talks about 2 Kings 6:1. He talks about the sons of the prophets dwelt with Elisha. So we need to understand that Saul and his messengers received prophetic grace by association. Who? Samuel. By lingering with Samuel, they even received the gift to prophesy. So must be near enough to the carrier of grace, where sometimes he sees you and he can bestow blessings upon you. You know, this is very, very important whenever you have the opportunity to meet with your spiritual father and say to him, pray, just pronounce. Benediction is very, very important. Benediction is very, 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 very important. Important. Benediction over my life made all the difference. During in the early days when I got saved and I wasn't even in business, I mean, I didn't have, you know, any money, no money. I was unemployed for 6 months serving my pastor. What was the word? He was on a 40-day fast. I went into his room by special permission because nobody, he separated himself for that 40 days. Only his wife was allowed, but I asked special permission. I went and knelt at his bedside. And I said to him, pray for me. I believe it's time for me to go into business. I heard an audible voice from God for me to go into business. He put his hand on my head. I was kneeling at his bedside. And he said, as your soul prospers, so will you prosper. That's all. That was the benediction, prayer and benediction. And the rest of it is history. From a pauper, from having nothing, lacking every day, end of every 2 weeks, we got fortnightly paid. Every 2 weeks, I was short of money. From lacking that, you become to where you see me. Today, I sow around the world. I sow into nations. I sow into people's life. I try to help them. So it's important, the laying of hands. He laid hands, and these are very, very important. And we see this, you know, in Genesis 48:13, we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Acts 8:18. So we see that, right? So doctrine. Going to doctrine contains grace. We need to understand that. Psalms 107:20. I've got no time to read all of this. I'm going to go as quick as I can. Okay, you'll see all of this doctrine and investing. You've got to invest it. If you want, I don't think Elisha brought a whole lot of money and followed and gave Elijah every day money. I don't think it was about money. But he gave his life. It means everything Elisha had first belonged to his father. Served his father wholeheartedly. Before his father can ask, Elisha was there to serve. He sold his life. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all the grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work. So God wants us to have an abundance. Paul declared abounding grace to those that sow. He declared that. Amen. So sowing is very, very, very important, church. You know the story of Barnabas and all of that. So for a few moments, I'm just going to leave it there. I just want to open this up a little bit now. I want to open it up a little bit to some of the sons. Some of the things I want to say to all of you. Okay. Now, I joined ABC. I think I became committed in round about 2000. In round about 2000, I made a commitment. I won't say I went there, maybe because I didn't understand this. But when I first met Dr. Sagi, I remember first time I had nothing. I had a benediction say about me. Then the next phase of my life, well, I started in 1988, focused on Christ Ministries. And then by 1999, I became acquainted to Dr. Sagi. Then I heard Dr. Sagi's teaching. I was absolutely amazed when he taught on the tabernacle of Moses. I said, where can this man get such dynamic revelation on the tabernacle? How he showed the cross on the formation of the tribes of Israel in the wilderness. And the formation is seen clearly. Christ, the cross is seen clearly in the formation. So But then I was sold out, I realized, and I'm sure all of you are today following for the simple reason that sometimes you would have heard a message from me speaking to me, and the message touched your heart. Okay? Because the message is what does the thing. The word of God touches your heart, and suddenly you realize, no, you want to hear a bit more, and you want to connect for such and such reason. Amen? That's what happened. So in around about 2000, I met Doc. Sharing a little bit of my testimony, I want to encourage you because people are going around and people are talking nonsense about the father-son wineskin is not today. Some people say we can connect direct to the father. Miriam and Aaron did the same thing, and you know they were punished. Many people would want to try and do this. Nicodemus failed hopelessly because he wouldn't hear. And catch and subject himself to the things the Lord was saying to him. So we must be very, 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 very careful how we receive the word of the Lord. So I met him, and then my niece was coordinating the meeting, and then she called me to share a few things. And this was the early days, 2000, when I was in Nepal. And we were having a tremendous time in Nepal. But we were not in enter the apostolic. We're still in the Pentecostal season, so there was a lot of stuff happening: falling down, goosebumps, speaking in other tongues, children speaking in tongues, all this stuff, people being slain in the spirit for hours and all that. And so we were just back. We were real Pentecostal charismatic. We were into it, and so we were having a good time in Nepal. Church was starting to grow, and both my daughters were there studying medicine at that time. Church was going. So anyway, and then Dr. Sege heard some of the things I was sharing. It was genuine about my experience in Nepal and how I believe God is going to grow the church in Nepal. And then Dr. Sege invited me to his church. I think it was a couple of weeks later, and I went and I ministered on his church. Again, a Pentecostal message, charismatic, and I preached on the cross of Calvary and, expressing the death of Jesus. I was talking about the road to Mount Golgotha, how bloody it was, etc. And so I remember that day, even Rochelle, there were many people weeping in the church. And then after that, I had lunch with Dr. Sege. This is around about 2000. I went in, and Dr. Sege prophesied to me. And Dr. Sege said to me, he said to me, Dr. Ronnie, you carry an apostolic grace. And he says, you have the Cyrus anointing upon your life. You are able to turn things around in the marketplace very quickly. He says, you have the Cyrus anointing, and you are able to use both left and right hand. So you carry the spirit. Like a David, but the most important thing, he said to me, you have an apostolic calling in your life, and therefore you carry apostolic grace. It didn't mean anything to me, but this is what he said. The first thing before we eat or anything, he said to me, you carry an apostolic anointing, you have apostolic grace in you. You are an apostle. I never said to anybody, I'm an apostle. I don't claim to be an apostle. And that was the beginning of our journey, beginning of our journey. And many things happened. People left me, right? We were about over 250 strong, closer to 300 in the church. The church where we had the hall, good people were sitting outside. They were not all sitting inside the church. There were times there was no place. But all those people, as soon as I started to talk about the Father, Son, the Set Man principle, they left the church. I had to close the old Bible school that I studied under. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand, I've been through the test as well. The people said, what is this Father, Son? Because the earlier movement, the fathering, the shepherding movement in the US, that was autocratic. They tried to rule their sons with the iron fist, with the iron rod. This is not today, Father Son. Today, this, if other people think there's no need for a father, I want you to look at my life and see I first serve as a son before I claim to be a father. And I serve, I'd like to believe I serve all of you. I serve you in humility. Yes, I will rebuke you from time to time if I disagree with some of the things you're doing, but it's nothing to do with my love for you. And so again, there's a benediction pronounced on my life. But now, if God speaks prophetically to you, if God speaks to you have to work this thing out. You have to go to the Lord and say to the Lord, "Now, Lord, if you spoke this to me and I received this word, now I need to work this thing out. How now do I become? I'm not an apostolic leader. I'm still in the old season, but then God gave me this stuff. And then there are a few times I phoned him and I said to him, "Doc, this thing don't make sense to me. And people are criticizing me. People are talking about me. People are saying, what has gone wrong with this man? All the people have left him. And even my very own family, my flesh and blood, walked out of the church. They said, "No, you are gone a cult now. You are gone. You're choosing other things." But I stuck to the benediction on my life in the new face. I knew it was a Kairos moment. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't tell people. I couldn't explain it. I just knew that was a benediction over my life. You have an apostolic calling. I didn't know what this means until later on. I studied apostolic people, how to present this. I didn't understand, and I had no mentor, right? I just entered somebody that maybe previously I was serving under a pastor, and you know how it was. The full gospel church weighs you down. They won't identify with you when you're out in the wilderness when you're preaching the gospel because you don't carry the certificate. You're only qualified by the certificate. But here's a man who looks at me and say to me, "This is the grace that you have. You need to walk in." And so I had to work this thing out. I had to study. I had to first unlearn all the things that I learned, about the rapture, about the blood, all unlearn it. It was not easy. Then I had to get my wife in tune. My wife just graduated from a theological seminary from the USA. She's got a bachelor's. And I had to unlearn. I had to tell her, you see, it was not easy for me, but I fought this fight. I stood the ground. I said to the people, "Bear with me, stick with me." I'll never forget the times I went to Pastor Malcolm, how the people just left him, how the people came to assault him. So many other people. And when we brought this strong teaching even to Pastor Desigan, how they were okay to be connected to me, but they weren't happy with Desigan, and they just suddenly leave. These things are very painful, but these are growing pains. It's like birth pains, growing pains. When the baby in you, when your womb has conceived, now you've got to birth this thing. Amen. You've got to birth this thing. And so even now, as I travel the nations, we have to go to Hungary. We're starting from ground zero. From ground zero. Because they're asking the question, where is this father-son wineskin is all about? So all of you that are here, you should have been upgraded by now in the father-son. So I can take you anywhere in the world and you will be able to provide sound doctrine on why you believe in the father-son wineskin. You shouldn't be turned this way, that way by different winds of doctrine, just like how Paul says, don't be let other people just come and sweep you off your feet and give you another gospel, especially people that have been hurt in the past. If people walked and because the flesh came in between, anger was in between, anxiety in between, and if their relationship broke, then they go knocking. And that's the worst thing they can do because there's consequences when you're coming up against a wineskin that has been designed and orchestrated by Jesus Christ himself. It's something he designed on the earth. It's something that he orchestrated on the earth. It's something that he himself submitted to our Father on the earth so that he can come into the fullness of what God wanted him to be. If he demonstrated it, if Paul saw the reason for being this, If Paul refers to Titus, Timothy, these are my children. Even later, he calls them son, but he even made reference to they are my children. What it means is he's taken ownership of them. He loved them too, as his own. And that's how I love you. I truly love you guys, in that because of your commitment to the kingdom of God. This is not fleshly love. This is not any other kind of love. This is not emotional thing. I love what you do. I love the commitment that you make. I get excited. The other day, the pastor said to me, and even sent me a program, what he plans for next year, what he plans for 10 years. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. This is what we plan to do. This is what I love. So when I say I love you, it means I love your commitment. I love how you subject yourself to the challenges of God, to the tests of God, and that's why the God the Father loved Jesus, because when he was tested in the wilderness, he stood his ground. Man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeds, he stood the test of ground. So we are going to go through many testings. Amen. There's sometimes a son will fail. I'm ready to forgive any son that has failed to come back, to go back, to reconcile. Even you as a father, your sons have mistaken. I'm ready to go to your son and bring and open his eyes to new understanding, to make him understand and to reconcile you to your father, because these are important. Jesus came to reconcile what? Every one of us, Yona, every one of us, nobody is exempted. Even those that are not saved today, his purpose on the earth was to reconcile us to God the Father, because we lost it through Adam. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, came to reconcile us to the Father. That's the ultimate purpose. One day we become his bride. Now, what we are supposed to do on earth, if he's reconciling us to the Father, we must reconcile sons to the fathers, fathers to the sons. Malachi says that closing the old covenant, we're entering the new covenant with the last prophetic sound. There was a 400 odd years silence from the old to the new. But the closing chapter of the old was connect fathers to sons, sons to fathers. And that's what Jesus came for. He came to fulfill what Malachi prophesied, to bring that to pass. So what do you think you and I should be doing? If we say we are Christ-like, if we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, what then should we be doing? We should be connecting fathers to sons, sons to fathers. I don't go everywhere and say, connect to me. I'm excited when sons get connected to the relevant father, where they say, because the son chooses the father. The father can't choose the son. Amen. As much as I like some of you are such, you'll carry such tremendous grace as son. You'll do so much as son. I would love you to be my son, but I will not enter that zone. I will not even allow that thing to cross my mind, because you're a great son and a great support structure to your father. I will crown you because of the way you serve your father. I will not be jealous. I will not be jealous. I will not come into your zone. I will not come into your ministry as a father to take away your sons, to bring your sons down, or to bring you down before your sons. I will come into your zone to lift you up. I will come into your zone, but I will not compromise this doctrine. I will not do that. Amen. So there's so many things in the Father Son. If our eyes are not open to the understanding of what the Lord wants, if we don't draw from the wisdom of God, if we don't go into a time of waiting and fasting and prayer, if we don't spend enough time with the word of the Lord, then you're going to mess up in your walk with God, because you won't have the answers. Therefore, we tread carefully. We have nine elders, not one elder, nine elders that serve Dr. Segi here. I'm not in competition with them. I don't care if they preach more than me. It doesn't matter. My job is to be a son to the Father, not to preach to him, not to make suggestions, not to say this, not to say that. I would like him to hear from God and build his ministry. He's hearing from God. Just like with my ministry, I like to hear from God. But when many people give me ideas, that's when my mind is focused on the ideas that has come to me than waiting to hear from God what he's saying. But I always welcome people making greater suggestions. I never turn it off. It's always, I give it thought. I don't discard people say things, but it's important. So I serve as an elder, but I'm also my brother's keeper. You see, I know this for a fact, how much it pleases my spiritual father when he knows I have a great relationship with his sons. Therefore, he is quick to send me when there's a problem among sons, because he knows I won't go to destroy. I will go to set the record straight. And I do that all the time as per his instruction. So yeah, I want you to understand, although I watch over you, I become a father figure in your life, I also serve as a son. So I know what it is like to be. People come and say to me, on Saturday, somebody came and complained bitterly to me about he's not getting recognition at ABC. He's so many years. Other people came after him or before him. And I said to him, please, my brother, if you're gonna dwell in things like this, you're never gonna grow in this thing. Give this thing up. You go there, you hear the word of God, take whatever you can from the word of God without looking around at other people. Don't manifest your thought on other people, what they think of you. Don't manifest. You come there for one purpose, for doctrine. You come to hear the word, take it, listen to the messages, and build yourself up in your ministry. Don't worry about what other people, they overtook you. Don't worry. The first shall come last, the last shall come first. These things are all scriptural. We don't know how it'll be applied in your life, in your brother's life. Don't worry about that, about who's first and who's last. Just focus on what you came for. You enjoy the message? Yes, I really enjoy. I said that. Stick to what you like. Enjoy that and leave. Don't worry about other people. Greet them. Be nice to them and leave. But now you're bothered about other people think of you, what other people think because you've never been called up to do a prayer point. Don't worry about that. There's 300 people there. How many people he's going to call? Other people are given the opportunity to manage their prayer point. They choose people, other people. They might have their favorites. So what? Don't blame Dr. Segi for everything. We need to understand that. We need to build accurately. So as fathers, I'm just sharing some real life experiences. You're going to go through tests. So I'm going to open it now for a short while. Are there any questions? You see, we have some new people. Yeah, no, I won't say new people. What I mean is there are some folk here. Some came there. See, some of them are left. But ask me some questions, no matter what it is, regarding the fathers. And if it's still troubling you know, whether you made a mistake, whether you're in the right place, whether you chose the right father, you know, just go ahead. You know, I'm sure you got some questions. Or you want to add to some of the things I said. You want to encourage us. I want to open this meeting.
Good morning, Dad.
Morning, sir. Good morning.
Thank you for sharing with us this morning, and morning to all the other saints on the call. I would just like to share that I believe we're very blessed to be part of this company. And it was, I think, last week or the week before, in one of the meetings, Dr. Segi was sharing with the whole community that was online about building kingdom building in the nations. And he was essentially saying to people that, haven't established a large network or maybe haven't ventured into international ministry, he said, if you're keen to do this, go and study Dr. Ronnie's network. Go and study how he's building, go and study his pattern. And then he mentioned the one other person. I think he mentioned Pastor Ralph. And he said, go and study Pastor Ralph's building pattern. And he said, these people will make time for you. They will help you. They will even take you along and show you how they are building. And I believe it's a real privilege that this Dr. Ronnie that Dr. Segi was referring to, he's our spiritual dad. And we don't have to make special arrangements to find out how he's building. We are seeing it. And yesterday morning in our meeting, we had a little boy come in, and he came in, and I'm observing that he latches on to our youth leader, and generally comes and sits next to him. And I can see there's a bond that's growing. There's a trust that's there in the relationship. And I asked the little boy, what do you like about him? And the one thing he says, he plays with me. And then I asked, how does that make you feel? And he says, I feel happy. Then I asked him, does he teach you? And the immediate response was yes. So I asked him, what does he teach you? And he couldn't give me an answer. But what I recognized is, if the immediate response was, he's teaching me, but he couldn't say what he was being taught, I see the value of just learning by association, just learning by being in the company, just observing, and we learn and we pattern. And I believe that's a great privilege that we have in our company, as sons that are walking with Dr. Ronnie as the patriarch in this family. And Dad, we just want to acknowledge you for the work that you are doing, not in one nation, in many nations, and your faithfulness and commitment that you continue to demonstrate. Some of us are aspiring, but it's very big shoes that you have that need to be filled. So thank you for the pattern, and even as Paul would encourage Timothy in walking in his doctrine, in his manner of life, in his speech, knowing his challenges and his struggles. We thank you for allowing us that privilege to share in your life and your journey. We are grateful. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah, in fact, there's a few people that have approached me and would love to travel with me, you know. But I'm also nervous to take them because you don't know what sort of attack they'll come under, you know, whether they're strong enough. Because when we travel, I'll never forget the first day I took Pastor Tamu, Apostle Tamu, to Kathmandu, to Nepal. We just stepped out of the plane into the airport. We did immigration. We came out of the airport. And Tamu just looked up into the sky like that. And he says, this place is infested with unclean spirit. He says, this place, there's demonic activity all over this place. So I just said to him, can you see what I have to deal with here? Amen. But that's how quick and how we sense so quickly how we get. So you must understand with all that's happening in Nepal, with all the idol worship and all the stuff, and Christianity is growing. And as Dr. Segi said, you know, we saw this on the net so many times that Nepal is one of the cutting edge countries now with the gospel growing fastest growing revival at least is taking place. And with and that grateful to what Pastor Ravi is doing there with all his sons. I see Gian is here, Anu is here, from Prasu. I see them all here this morning. And we're really grateful to what Pastor Malcolm is driving in Nepal. He also has a network of sons. They're driving it. They're planning to tackle every city in Nepal. They have a broad vision for Nepal for the new year. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what God is doing. And there's de definitely an upward trajectory. Any other comments or questions? Mr. Sas, you want to share something?
Morning, Dad. Morning, family. No, thank you for clarifying this morning. And you did a very good summation of the picture of the Father, Son, and why it's essential. And we understand that you don't need a spiritual father for salvation. You can walk with God, and you will certainly be saved, and you can do good things in life and have some success. But you need a man for dominion and to come to rule. And that's why we advocate that we walk, two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So, covenant is something that we cannot avoid if we want to come into rulership and dominion. And you talked about David and Jonathan this morning and their bones. It was only after David could sing the song of the bow and make all of Israel mourn the death of Saul and talk about how the mighty have fallen, how the Lord's anointed have fallen. It's only after he could declare publicly, in spite of Saul's being so backslidden, trying to kill him, chasing him out of the palace, taking his wife away, giving his wife to another man, all of that. And David still sees the spirit in the man and the anointing in the man, and he does not touch the anointed. And it
Amen.
was that declaration and that sight of not wanting to know a man after the flesh, after he celebrates Saul and causes the whole nation to mourn and to sing that song. Then the Lord says to him, "All right, now you can go up to Hebron." And Hebron for him was the place of covenant, where people came and joined with him, and that's where his journey as king and as priest really began to accelerate. So if you cannot see Christ in somebody else and serve them, honor them, lift up their hands, celebrate them, and learn how to not know other people after the flesh, you would only go so far. David would have remained in Ziklag all the days of his life, done some good things there. I think that's all that God had for him, when in fact God wanted him to move on to Hebron and then ultimately to Zion. So these are non-negotiables for our dominion, just like Jesus had to come and submit to the hand of John for his heaven to open over his life. And we thank you, Dad, for just reminding us of that this morning. And we are strengthened and encouraged, and we must help one another in this journey. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so I've asked Pastor Ravi now to do to start the ABC One, and I've encouraged all his sons and his network to start it, and it's going to be a structured program. And I think Pastor Malcolm is well into ABC. Which lesson are you now, Pastor Malcolm? Unmute your mic here, Pastor Malcolm.
We have the first batch doing second man principle, and the new batch is doing set man. We started with set man for the first batch. They finished the first batch of set man. And the first batch is now doing second man principle. That is lesson number 15.
Okay.
And we have the second batch started who's doing set man.
Fantastic.
Lesson 14.
And the way Pastor Malcolm is building in Dubai works well for him. Amen. It might not work well for you, but he is sensed, he has looked to the Lord, and the Lord has showed him what will work out best for him, because he's got people from different parts of the world, and they work different shifts, et cetera, et cetera. So he had to orchestrate a plan that works for him. And so that's a beauty of this study program. It, beside upgrading you and making you give you a greater understanding, you know, it's tailored to suit what the set man of the house desires for his people. And that's phenomenal. You'll never find this. Please believe me. Please believe me. You will never find this level of teaching or this kind of teaching anywhere else in the world. You will not find it. You will not find it. I mean, you know, a lot of people are using this quietly, even in other apostle circles. They got the stuff because all our stuff is free. Got the stuff and they're using it. So some of you that are just coming now, the Father Son Wineskin is on the website. So, Pastor Lenny, if you can just send the website details to the to our folk here, maybe in the chat, so that they can go on the website. They can go, even Daniel, you can educate it, put it in the Nepal website where they can go. They can download the ebook on Father Son, and they can get themselves familiar with it. So that when we're doing this, it'll all work out better for you, because you understand. Go ahead, Pastor Des.
Dad, just a quick question from my side. There's about, I think, 24 participants on the call this morning. And I know that in Nepal, there's over 100 households. And I, you know, just the numbers there would tell us that in the family there are at least 100 set men or fathers of households in that region. Is it a matter of technology that there isn't a greater participation in this meeting, or an all not invited? What's the are you able to share around that?
Yes, you see, some of them have been added, others that have been invited, probably late invitation, but the numbers will increase. But we're not opening it to all, but we're opening it more to those that are going to teach.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, if there's nothing else, I think our time is out. I want to stick to time. We want to start sharp, my time at 5 o'clock. Finishes at half past six. So it's time now. Let's go to the table of the Lord. Pastor Malcolm, would you lead us to the table of the Lord this morning?
Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you, God, for being under the covenant of a father-son wineskin, which, Lord, you have designed it for the church, for the need of the hour in the church. And Lord, even as we are building ourselves in this pattern, we want to acknowledge you as our Lord over our lives. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In every situation, we look to you. And so, Father God, bless us this morning. Even as we break this bread, we confess our sins. We repent. And Lord, we know repent means turning ourselves 180 degrees, never to do it again. And so, give us the strength. And we thank you for your faithfulness. You died on the cross for all our sins. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, "Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do this in remembrance of me." Let's all eat of the bread together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Let's all drink of the cup. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord that till he comes into glory. Father, we pray for revival of hearts, that they may open our, we may open ourselves to serve you diligently with all our hearts. Bless every ministry of God that is under the I Am ministry. Every son and daughter who is under our spiritual dad, Dr. Ronnie. We pray for Dad, Dr. Ronnie, and for Pastor Beulah in a very special way this morning. Lord, even as they plan the year 2025 for the church, great exploits. We ask God, supernatural wisdom. The year 2025 will be a blessed year for each one of us under the covering of our dad, Dr. Ronnie. And so, Father God, speak into his life. Lord, that he will in turn speak to us. And so, Father God, we thank you for each son who is under the wineskin of our dad, Dr. Ronnie. Bless every home, Lord. They will receive before the year end. Oh Lord, grace upon grace being poured in every home. Every want, every need. Lord, you are the author and the giver of all good things. And Lord, we stand on that, Lord. We know that you are with you, all things are possible. And we know that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And Father, we stand on these promises. It is for us, O God. And so we confess them out. We trust in you in every situation that you will be a God. And especially for those who are in business, O God. We pray, God, that as they do their business diligently, O God, open the doors for them. New orders to come in. New jobs to come in, O Father. And Father, that we know that as they are blessed, the kingdom of God will advance through each one's business, O God. And that's all we have in mind, that your kingdom advance through the businesses you have given us. Bless each one, O God. And I thank you for your hands of faithfulness over every business that is there in the I Am ministry. Those who are physically doing business to earn a living and to help the ministry. Bless those hands, O God. Before the year end, Lord, we want to see miracles. Miracles unfold in each one's life. And we believe it is happening right now, even as we declare it. We believe it's happening right now as they go out. Great exploits are happening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Receive that as a declaration, as a decree, that businesses will grow, will be, there'll be an acceleration in your business. Receive that as a word from the Lord that in the time of prayer, that your business will be accelerated into what God wants it to become. In Jesus' name we pray, we declare, we decree that in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you. And till we meet again, God bless.